Hello and welcome to the Dorsey Wright podcast on this September 16th. My name is Will Gibson and I'm joined by Sarah Mele today. And Sarah, we're coming in. The equity markets have kind of been moving up and down today, back and forth, hovering around neutral territory. However, earlier on, we did get some notable upward action for the broad market equity popular benchmark, S&P 500 here. That it was enough to add an additional column of X's looking at the chart. So if you're following us on YouTube, per usual, we're going to have some accompanying things displaying such. But also know that moving up in a column of X's as the S&P is, I'm looking at the 20-point version, so a bit slower than that default scale. It's now one box away from returning to a buy signal. So that recent sell-off did push the index down to give a sell signal, took out a lot of overbought levels and readings that we saw really across the equity markets, which we touched on last week and kind of throughout the report, generated some higher bottoms, some near-term support, and now we're seeing a bit more follow through to the upside for the S&P 500 being just one box away from returning to a buy signal or some of the other broad indices or even individual securities that have made their way back to buy signals. So some positive technical action on that front, beginning with the broad market. Also sticking with the S&P 500, it's notable that the end of this week, it's set to rebalance or reconstitute with some new additions and deletions. That of which being we're going to see Etsy, Teradyne, and Catalent are going to be added to the index, while H&R Block, Coty, and Kohl's are going to be removed. I apologize if I mispronounced those names. The ticker symbols ETSY, TER, and CTLT were getting added. And then H&R Block, HRB, COTY, and KSS are going to be removed. Upon finding that, we did a short study in that, is there a performance advantage or do securities that are being added to the index demonstrate above average returns against the broader market index? Perhaps the rationale being passive funds that track the index are going to be picking up on those. And in addition to that, being added to a notorious and popular broad market index like the S&P 500 is going to generate some awareness for the stock, especially among retail investors. But in short, the study that we saw is most of that premium or that alpha is generated really prior to the security being added to the index, keeping in mind forward-looking the Wall Street market tends to be. So most of that premium is salvaged or garnered before added to the index. But interesting study nonetheless. If you're on the Dorsey Wright platform, it's on the daily equity and market analysis page. But moving from that, Sarah, broad market generally trending higher. Some sectors are, some sectors aren't.
Right. So we've seen a tremendous hit in the energy sector. So that's kind of what I wanted to bring up first. Right now in DALI, energy has 113 signals in its favor, and it has fallen to the seventh position. So in the basement of DALI, we would consider that a low relative strength sector at this moment. Recall that energy did rank number one back in June for about a month. It overtook that from technology. Energy had up to, 200 plus buy signals. So it's lost a tremendous amount of signals over the last few months. In just the last week alone, it's lost 24 signals. And we've seen this rotation reflected among many of our models. One of the models that we saw energy rotate out of this week happened in the State Street Targeted Sector Rotation Model. It sold its exposure to XES, which is the SPDR S&P Oil and Gas Equipment and Services ETF, and we saw semiconductors rotate in via the XSD ETF. So that's that SPDR S&P Semiconductors ETF. So while we've seen weakness in energy, we've also seen some rotation kind of in the middle of DALI, where we've seen basic materials move up. We've seen the kind of the middle four, you can see they're pretty close in signals. So we've seen a battle there, but the leadership at the top and the you know, those laggards at the bottom have remained pretty solid, and, you know, which tends to be positive for momentum strategies. And one other area of strength that I wanted to point out today is actually in the chart of the EEM. So that's the emerging markets proxy that we use. This particular chart, it's given four consecutive buy signals. It reached 45.50 in August and came, you know, half a box or half a point, excuse me, one box away from its January high, which was a multi-year high, before pulling back to 43.50. And then with yesterday's market action, we've seen the chart reverse back up. So it's two boxes away from a potential fifth consecutive buy signal. EEM moves back into a positive trend in June. Now it has a fund score over 5.02. So anything with a score above 3, we tend to be an actionable name. And that fund score just tells us that, you know, that EEM has both absolute and relative strength going for it right now. EEM is outperforming EFA, so the developed markets proxy, by about 5% year to date. I will say that EEM also just moved back into the black for the year. So it's relatively flat, up 53 basis points. It's outperforming EFA by about 5% and outscoring the EFA by about 2 whole score points. So will we see emerging markets, you know, take off? Not quite as much as the U.S. markets, but we have seen, at least from an international perspective, we've seen emerging definitely, you know, emerge kind of right now as the leader.
Yeah, definitely. Emerging markets emerging. So great points there, Sarah, both on the domestic equity sector front as well as some on the international front. And maybe working from that emerging markets discussion points that you brought up, and that there are some similar, more thematic tailwinds that can drive emerging markets, commodities, maybe precious metals even. So I would like to touch on those if we have a second here. So while we've seen, you know, really broad domestic equity markets, we got the pullback, which we talked about. We've seen some follow through to the upside, which we've now talked about, established some near-term support. Some sectors not being as lucky, maybe energy being one of those. International front, you're seeing that upward participation, specifically emerging markets thematically tied. We're looking at maybe gold, silver. Now, these are interesting, and if you're able to see this chart, we're looking at a GLD, Spider Gold Trust ETF. Right now, we have a bit of consolidation near the top, where we know this really took off, has since pulled back and formed really a triple bottom. So 3 points where supply has really presented itself around 180, which right now is the middle of that 10-week trading band, where a move lower from current levels to 178 would give the first sell signal for GLD since March of this year. And that would be a triple bottom break for those familiar with some more of the point and figure technical jargon here. But nonetheless, we're seeing some consolidation in that precious metal space, specifically in GLD, gold in this case, and also for silver. And looking at counterparty, maybe SLV ETF, we note a very similar chart pattern where we have, in this case, 5 consecutive buy signals, the first coming in May of this year, and has since, again, kind of consolidated, contracted as of lately, where you have a fair amount of near-term support really between the 2350 and 2450 level for SLV. So precious metals have cooled off a bit, haven't seen those rebound or demonstrate that additional follow through to the upside like the rest of the equity markets has on a more recent basis, but still technically strong, both of those areas. Stepping out into the broader commodity space in large, we touched on this a few weeks ago, but that commodities group we've been eyeing more so that general participation of alternative assets. We're measuring it by fund score, as Sarah mentioned, is going to be that combination of absolute and relative strength technical components for the group. And that group as a whole is just shy of that 3.0 score line. Sarah also mentioned being that technically kind of acceptable territory for a group to be in. So currently the commodities group is at 2.92, bumping up against that 3.0 score line threshold. It's done that really multiple times in the past 4 years and has not been able to do so. So we're eyeing that to hopefully see if we can see some follow through there. It does have a positive 1.29 score direction, just telling us that that group score is still generally moving higher over the past 6 months. So hopefully that can hold as well. But nonetheless, fortunately, a fair amount of things are working right now. Different asset classes are still working. A number of sectors are working. We're seeing that sustained leadership, as Sarah mentioned, at the top of DALI. The leaders are leading, and the laggards, for the most part, are still lagging. Recent laggard energy jumping back in there after a bright spurt. But plenty of things to talk about per usual, and we enjoy talking about them. Hopefully that comes through. Nonetheless, we will go ahead and wrap it up. And as we do, like to mention, if you ever want to discuss anything with us, we're happy to do so by phone at 804-320-8511 or via email at dwa@dorseywright.com. So that said, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, and we hope to talk to you soon.